Before we get started, John, can I pray for you?
Yes, please.
Lord, I thank you for John. I thank you for his encouragement to others, his desire to see your kingdom built, his desire to lift your name higher, his desire to encourage and cause to flourish this church, and his chief means of doing that is by opening your word and reading what you have for us. And Father, I pray that you would bless him, bless his efforts in study, bless his efforts as he opened your word quietly. I pray now for all that he has prepared, the words that he has made ready. Father, I pray that you would take them and breathe life into them. Encourage each and every one of us and excite us for your word and for your path that you have for us. Bless him, I pray, and bless each of us by your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John.
Morning. Morning, church. I don't know, is this, yes, it is on. Excuse me, it's going to poke my eye out in a moment. Good morning, church. Nice to see you this morning. I'm just getting rid of this. Don't worry, it's not coming your way. Okay. Let's just echo some of those words that Peter has just said in prayer to me. Let's continue praying just a little bit. Father, we, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for our musicians and the singers, for the being able to have this time of worship this morning and to be able to sing together and to be open to you together, Lord. I just want to thank you for that, especially for the opportunity of hearing your word. Now, Lord, as we come together to look a little closer into your word, I pray that you use this time to speak to each one of us, including those online and anyone else here this morning. Help us especially to take on board that message, the message that touches our hearts. May this time be about you, Lord, and not about the speaker. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've had quite a month of it this month, haven't we? Those of you that have been here each week. We started off just a few weeks ago with Peter talking about desperation. And he spoke particularly about that woman who had had that hemorrhage for all those years, who was desperate and came up and just touched the hem of Jesus' cloak and was healed. Last week, we heard about dependence from Kingsley. And thank you, Kingsley. We learned how we need to be dependent upon God and we need to be reliant upon him, because he is true to his word, and he is always willing to reach out to us. And this week, slightly different, we're going to be looking at dedication. Dedication. And we're going to do that in two ways. I'm going to briefly speak on a short passage from Scripture. It's going to be Acts chapter 3. And then I'm going to end with a testimony. And that testimony is going to be my testimony to you this morning of what the Lord's been doing with me in the last 6 to 8 weeks. Quite interesting. So if you've got a Bible, or if you can see a Bible, lean across and turn to Acts chapter 3. It's just a few verses. Acts chapter 3, it's the very beginning. After you, in the New Testament, we get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, and then we go over to Acts. So it's not very far into your New Testament. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now, a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate, the gate that was called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those that were going into the temple courts. You can get the picture. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. He asked everybody for money as they walked past him. But Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And Peter said, look at us. Look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said this, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. I can tell you now, the man wasn't expecting that. He was hoping for a little bit of silver or a little bit of gold. And then all of a sudden, he's being told to get up and walk. He hadn't walked ever in the whole of his life because he was crippled from birth. Get up and walk. And taking him by the right hand, Peter helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. Must have been a novelty for him. And instantly he went in with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit and beg at the temple gate. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. There's a lot more, much more about this story in this chapter as it goes, as it develops. But I want particularly to look at those verses this morning and nowhere else. Peter and John, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, were doing what they were commanded to do. They were spreading the good news of salvation. And when they got to the temple, they saw this man, crippled from birth, being carried to the temple gate. What followed was not only miraculous, but it also had quite a lot of meaning to it as well. It's the first healing that we hear about in the book of Acts. And the message is that there is power in the name of Jesus Christ for those who are dedicated to him. Three things happened during this passage, and they are three things that can be applied to everyday life today. Three things about the work that Jesus did. First, Peter tells the man, look at us. He wanted his undivided attention. They were not going to compete for this man's attention. They wanted his undivided attention. And secondly, Peter says, get up and walk. He healed the crippled man. Amazing. He healed the crippled man. And what does God tell us today? He tells us, and finally, the man went around telling everyone that he was healed. Into the temple he went, walking and jumping and praising God. And what does God tell us today? He tells us the same three things. God says, give me your attention. Give me your belief. I need you to be focused on me. God wants us to believe that he sent his son into this world to die. He wants us to believe that his death on the cross is the only way that you and I will ever get to heaven. Without the man's undivided attention, Peter couldn't heal him. He said, look at us. He wanted to be sure that this man was listening only to them. And without our undivided attention, without our dedication to Father, God cannot work in our lives. Earlier, as Jesus and his disciples had left Jericho, two blind men heard he was coming, and they wanted him to heal them. The men ignored the crowd that was rebuking them and telling them to be quiet. They shouted even more, and they asked for healing. They gave Jesus their undivided attention. They knew that if they could just get him to stop and talk to them, they could be healed. They had faith that Jesus could do it. And he had compassion on them because of their faith. Throughout his ministry, Jesus healed those that had faith, those that called out to him. We heard from Peter recently about this lady with this hemorrhage who walked up behind him and had the faith that this man could heal her, and he did. A group of four men lowered their friend down through a hole in the ceiling where Jesus was teaching in the hopes that he would heal this man, and he did. I don't know what happened to the ceiling afterwards, but that was another matter. Without your full attention, without your dedication, you will not have complete faith in Jesus Christ. God needs your attention at all times so that he can work through you. He doesn't only want half of your time. He doesn't want three quarters. He wants your undivided attention this morning. And when Peter and John heard this man's, when they had this man's attention, the healing took place. Paul tells us that when we believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, we are justified. The Holy Spirit will heal your broken spirit, and you are born again, and you are given a new life because you have given your attention to God. It is with belief in Christ that God's Holy Spirit can descend upon your heart and you become healed. The old creation is gone, and you are a new creation, as Paul told the Ephesians. And he told the Romans, and he told the Corinthians that your old life is gone, and your new life begins. All by letting God have your attention, and then calling on his name, that through power in the name of Jesus Christ, you will be healed. Your sins will be remembered no more, and God will write his law on your heart, and you will be worthy enough to be considered a child of God because of the power in the name of Jesus Christ. It was in the name of Jesus Christ that the man began to walk. When Peter told him, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk," he did so. He raised him up and he walked. We must simply call upon the name of Jesus to help us through all the trials and the temptations we get. It's as though that we can turn on a light switch into the power of Jesus, and we can turn it on by simply asking Jesus for it. If we get there and we try on our own, we'll stub our toes, we'll bang our knees. It's only when we have the power of Jesus Christ that we can make things happen in those tough times. Just reach out to God and flick that switch. The third thing that this passage tells us is that this man knew he was healed, and he proclaimed it to the world. He went into the temple courts walking and jumping and praising God, we're told. We give God our attention. He heals us. And then what do? Do we sit and say, "Yes, I'm going to heaven," quietly in our own hearts and nothing else? Or do we jump up and down like this man and yell, "Yes, I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord God Almighty"? Because that's what he expects. You're permitted to do either, of course. Jesus tells his disciples to go into the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are told to spread the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and kings of kings. You're saved. You're born again. You are a new creation. Don't let it stop there. If that man could not have jumped up and run around, no one would have known he was healed. They probably would have assumed that he had died, and that would have been the end of it. But instead, he jumped up and down and praised God. People recognize him. And guess what else they recognized about him? They recognized he'd been healed, and they praised God. What do people recognize about you and about me this morning? Jesus tells us that the world will know us by our fruits, not the fruit that you buy in the shop, but by the fruit of the Spirit that we show to the world. If you're not bearing fruit, then you won't be recognized as being born again. And if you will be doing nothing for God, and he won't have your full attention, he won't continue to heal you. Now, I don't expect all of us to go and shout to the world that Jesus saves. Some of you may do it. I may do it, but not all of us. But people will see you, and they will know you by your actions. It's been said, and I believe correct, that your life, my life, are probably the only Bibles that most people in this world will ever read. James tells us that faith without deeds is dead. It doesn't mean that it's our works that get us to heaven at all. You see, there are works, and then there is salvation. Salvation is not dependent on works. Salvation is one thing, and works are what comes out of it and demonstrate our dedication to Father. If you have good works, and by that I mean if you don't break the commandments every chance that you get to do so, or I mean that you give to the needy, or I mean that you love your neighbor, if you have good works, then you are bearing good fruit, and you will be rewarded for your deeds. But if your faith is dead, if you do just what you want, then God won't like it. You have a faith that's dead, and then you will produce dead fruit, and you won't be rewarded for that. This man shouted to everyone he saw. He praised God because he was healed, and we should do the same. We are healed by the power in the name of Jesus Christ. We are healed by him and only by him. We should not be shy about telling the world or showing the world all of this by our actions and by our talk. Stop and think for a moment. Stop and think about when you first accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you realized that he died on that cross for you. Think about that time. Maybe you don't remember the exact day or the exact hour or even where you were. If you've never done that, then there is no better time to accept that Jesus died for you. Say a prayer to yourself and God will hear it, but mainly know it is true and believe it in your heart. Now think about that moment and think about the joy that you had when you knew you would be going to heaven. That's when you were healed. Now think about the time when you completely gave yourself to the Lord, when you decided that belief was not enough and you knew that God wanted to work in your life. You dedicated your life to him. Remember that day. Remember the joy you had knowing that God was going to use you and mold you and make you into something new. If you've never done that, or if you've taken your life back out of his hands, give it back to him now. Give it back to him this morning. It is never too late to start over with God. Give him your full attention. Give it to him and say, take my life and let it be dedicated, Lord, to you. Give him all your cares. Give him all your fears, all your burdens. Cast them all upon the Lord, because you know that there is power in that name. And cast all those things on him and ask him to take them away. And then when you decide to take control back again, stop. Look God in the eye and give it back to him again. He will heal you again, and then finally go and shout it to the world. Tell it from the tallest mountain. Say, God is so good. Let me tell you what he did for me today. You may not save someone if they've already saved, but you may strengthen and encourage them. Our mission is not just to make disciples. Yes, it is to make disciples, but it's more than that. It's to make better disciples and to heal them through the power in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Remember, give him your full attention. Allow his power of forgiveness and fullness into your life, and tell others of all that he is doing in your life. Those are the three words from that passage there in Acts. But I want to finish by just talking a little bit about what's happened to me in recent times. And I want you to focus on God as I say this. It's not about me. On the 24th of May this year, I saw the consultant oncologist, and it was decided that I would have to go for further treatment, probably some sort of radium treatment. And I told him that I was having problems with my neck. I was really beginning to feel a pain and a concentration there. Already knew that I had a tumor in my neck, as I have in my pelvis. And that's the issue that I face. He said he would look into it and set me up for some tests. Things continued to deteriorate, and on Sunday the 4th of June, last month, I was so ill that although I'd been invited to Clacton at the time to celebrate Dave's birthday, I couldn't go. I couldn't get off the settee. I was in such pain, I was now living on painkillers. I was taking the absolute maximum I was allowed to take every day, and I wasn't getting much relief. On the 5th, the next morning, I rang the consultant and asked if I could have some more stronger painkillers so that I could get around ready for this radium treatment. He'd look into it. What did that mean? On the Tuesday, I had a bone scan. On the Wednesday, I had a CT scan. And on the Thursday, I had an MRI scan. No different painkillers. On Sunday the 11th, I managed to get here to church. I struggled. I had to be helped. Two people actually said to Dave, he's in such a bad way, don't expect him to last the week. And actually, I think they meant it. On Monday the 12th of June, I got a phone call from the consultant. You are to come to the hospital now. That Monday. We want you here now. Janet was meant to be going shopping. I rang her and said, would you come with me? She did. We got to the hospital at about 11 o'clock. We even managed to find a parking space, so we knew things were going right. I went in and I spoke to the guys where he had told me to go, and they were waiting for me. We had a long conversation. They took a lot of writing down. And then they strapped me into their table and started to take yet another scan. This one was clearly a very detailed scan because I was there for some time. I wasn't any better. They told me to go back early afternoon. I went back in that afternoon. I just about managed to walk into the place where they give you the radiotherapy. I had to be helped onto the platform. They strapped me in. I wasn't allowed to move because you're not allowed to move. And then this guy said to me, we're now going to give you the radiotherapy. Normally, you have radiotherapy for the odd minute or two. He said, we're going to do this for 25 minutes. And then we're going to move the machine and give you another 5 minutes. You're not to move. Have you ever tried lying still for 25 minutes without moving? Well, I couldn't move because they were strapped in. And off it went for 25 minutes. And I thought, he can't mean 25 minutes. He must mean 2.5 minutes. No, it went on. And it went on. And then finally he came out and said, now just 6 minutes on the other one. And he moved the machine. I don't know what he did. I was just lying there. And another 6 minutes happened. And afterwards he came up to me. And he said, Mr. Beavis, I think we got it all. I didn't know what he meant. I think we got it all. And he started unstrapping me. And he said, can you move? Bearing in mind, I'd had to be placed in the chair because I couldn't move because of the pain. I sat up. No pain. I sat round. I stood up. I hadn't been able to walk without help, without a stick, and without guidance. That was when? The 13th of June. 6 weeks ago? I haven't had one painkiller in that time. Needed them. I can't jump very well. But I can certainly walk. I've got after effects. I can't feel anything on the edge of my fingers. Can't feel it's pins and needles. That has horrible things when you try to put buttons on. It's made a horrible mess of my signature. But the Lord has healed me. He has healed me. It's not about me. I just lied there. It's about him. It's about him. And we're not over yet. I've still got to go for that radium treatment. The next morning, I rang the consultant to thank him. And he said, Mr. B, when I saw that MRI scan, I saw that the tumor in your neck had moved, had grown enormously, and was now touching, just beginning to touch your spinal cord. And had we not done that radiotherapy when we did, very soon you would have been paralyzed from the waist, from the neck downwards. It would have been all pins and needles. But I'm praising God. I said I can't quite jump for joy because I can't with a bad ankle. But I can thank God for that. And I want you guys to understand that it's not about me. It is all about him. All about him. And I pray indeed that you will be prepared this morning to give our Father your full attention. That you will be prepared to dedicate your life to him and allow him to heal you, whatever that is and whatever it may consist of. But then when he has healed you, Don't just put it quietly to one side. Give him the witness. Let him know that you're there and that he is your Lord and Saviour. Let's finish with a prayer together. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the short time we've shared together today. I pray that you will use this time to help each of us examine where we stand before you. For the uncommitted, for those that have never given their life to you, I pray that you will continue to show them their need of a Saviour. And indeed, I pray that they will be prepared to accept you as their Saviour. For those who have called themselves Christian, I pray they will see their need to show their dedication towards the Lord Jesus and be prepared to share the truth of this life with him. Bless each one of us here today, Father. Help us to shout aloud our fellowship with Christ and be dedicated in our walk with him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Amen.